Mr. Co-Chairman, there's chocolate cake over there, homemade by Pam Landry in his honor. All right, now that we're all sweetened up.
I'm sorry, Don, it wasn't on my can. You wouldn't have expected it, would you?
He didn't want anybody to expect it.
Madam Chairman, can we open back up some sections?
Yeah, you can back up some sections. Bill, I think you're just going to walk us through it, right?
Yeah, Madam Chair. I think, although there are multiple iterations out there now, we have this draft bill in the drafting system. As you know, we're starting to prepare the actual bill now, cheated ahead as it were. We'll work off of this one that I gave you on Friday. And what I just passed out to you is some language that was omitted on the university. That we need to get inserted into this. You guys already voted on this language, but in the rush to put together a draft for you to look at over the weekend, we missed this. And the sections that follow those first two pages are just replacement pages for some agencies that had some arithmetic errors. And if for some reason the budget system was kicking numbers out that weren't making any sense. So the pages that have the agencies, starting with Department of Ag, and for some reason I decided to put 006 behind it, and then 045, 048, and so on. Those are just replacement pages with hopefully the right numbers now.
Madam Chairman, I guess just as we go through this, the issue is to identify maybe two or three levels of things. One is make sure everybody's gone through and read all the language. Make sure everybody's aware of it. If you see something that you do not believe implements what your motion was or what you thought you were voting for, we'll have a discussion. Obviously, if everybody agrees that it doesn't properly reflect the position taken, then we just authorize and direct the staff to change it. If you get to another issue, and that is what happens if everybody thinks or it's exactly the motion you made, but it's not what you intended made, then we have a discussion to sort of sort out what to do there. And I suppose another category, and that is whether you have some Monday morning remorse and wanted to deal with it. Obviously, if it's that, then we talk about it. We still have the opportunity. I mean, if we chose to reopen the budget, it's not. I mean, I think it had to be pretty significant, though, to do. So, but mostly it's just to become informed, make sure everything's included, so that when we go to the draft, that we would sign our. Actually, I don't know if we signed this one, but we just before we do a roll call on the final vote, that it has everything that would incorrectly.
Right, Madam Chair, there are a couple of areas in here, in fact, where staff isn't completely sure whether we captured your intent. Well, you know, I'll bring those up when we get to them. But we figured we'd try to, you know, incorporate everything that comes of tonight's meeting, bring you a bill, hopefully a bill draft tomorrow, hoping tomorrow afternoon that you can vote on. And if you see anything in that one, too, we, you know, it'd still be in the draft form at that point. So just kind of quickly working through this thing, Madam Chair, do you want to go through every single change in here, or do you just kind of want to hit the high notes with the footnotes and some of the bigger money, or?
It's important enough. I think you ought to go to each one. Some of them are more obvious than the other. Make your judgment, but at least touch every new item. Start with on page 4. I didn't understand the comment on 3. I may have understood it, but on your language shown as stricken, do we line through, or what do we do on that one?
Mr. Chairman, that's just a typo on our part. We'll show the word natural as stricken. That was a governor's veto.
I'll have a line through natural.
Natural.
You take the word out. Dave thinks you take the word out.
That's actually, Madam Chair, that's correct. Take the word out and
remove it. If we
didn't
like it, we'd have to put a motion to put it back in on the floor. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, Madam Chair, going through kind of that first major change in the...
All of the old language and the new language in the supplemental budget so that... And then when it hits the floor, is the supplemental language going to be in a different color, or is it going to be reflected like this?
Madam Chair, the only time the old language is in the bill is if you're amending that section of the bill. So in this case, Governor's Office, you're dragging that section 001 in. When you drag it in, you have to drag in all of its footnotes. And you really notice that in section 048, where you have 13 other footnotes.
So the when it shows up, the final draft, though, is going to be like this, where you have, and I'm not sure if there was, like the next one has lighter font and then there's a darker font. I don't know if that's just the way the font.
Madam Chair, actually the way you'll be able to tell the difference between old language and new language is the new language will be underlined.
All right.
It'll be
underlined.
Is there
a reason why we've got different shades of font in the next two ones, or that just came out that way? That's fine.
Madam Chair,
this is just
I mean, it's entirely possible that some of this may have been highlighted in red for our attention or something. But the way it'll appear in the budget bill will be new language will be underlined, old language won't. And only those agencies that you worked on will show up in this bill. So there are a whole bunch of agencies that aren't here.
That comment language shown on the stricken veto by governor, well, that comment will be, the comment will be out and the word natural will be out. Okay, thanks.
Okay, Madam Chair, just kind of walking through the numbers right quick here. In the governor's office, three things were done. You added $250,000 in footnote 5. For deep water ports, $250,000, if I didn't say that already, $610,000 for the Niobrara oil play, and that language is shown as footnote 6, and $100,000 for staffing transitions in the governor's office, that's shown as footnote number 7.
Okay, going back to 6, what I didn't remember is us approving that additional employee. I remember the 610. I didn't remember the employee. That's just part of the governor's rec?
Madam Chairman, it was part of the governor's rec. And if you'll notice, we didn't change the position count in the governor's office. We simply added it in this footnote and said it's time limited.
I forgot in the governor's rec, what was the position for? One person to go out and distribute $610,000 or...
Madam Chair, the governor's rec talks about a time-limited contract position for the state engineer for water right and water usage compliance.
610.
$310,000 of the 610 was for the state engineer. So we put, Madam Chair, we put all of the money. There was a section of, there was a piece that was $310,000 for state engineer, a piece that was $200,000 for DOT, and a piece that was $100,000 for the governor's office. We put it all in the governor's office and said, look, you have the authority to transfer this money to the agencies that need to use it. But we figured for clarity's sake, it made more sense to put the whole thing in the governor's office, give him control over it.
That's fine, but it was all related to the Southeast Wyoming mineral exploration, or these other positions? That's what I mean,
Madam Chair, it was all Niobrara oil play.
Madam Chair. Thank you. I guess that was my problem, my fault, Bill. I actually added those together and came out with the 1.3, and apparently the way it's written, I would almost take that to be additional money, but if you add it up, it comes up to the 610. So I misread his proposal. I read it as adding those together to come up with $1 million, not a total of 610. Probably my misread, but it doesn't say of this, I want this, this, and this.
Oh, yeah, Madam Chair, we definitely took it as this is how the 610 breaks down.
Your motion, Michael?
No, I was just clarifying that I originally, when you read it, it doesn't say of this 610, 200 is for this, 310 is for this. If you read his note, it's the governor's recommendation. It actually acts like you add 610 plus 200 plus 310 plus 100. So my misread.
So you thought you were putting in 1 million 10. Did you think you were also creating a position?
Yes, I did. I did see from the language the position. I didn't question that.
Madam Chair, if Don's pointing out to me too that actually there's one time limited full-time position and one time limited contract position, which quite frankly I don't really see the difference between the two of them. It probably ought to just be two AWACs, and we can just change that language if that's the will of the committee.
Well, my problem, I guess, there is a bill going through for impacts different than this. We have two issues here. We have the 1.2 issue, and then we have the position. So, and I think unless people misunderstood, maybe you just send it out the way it is. But, I mean, that's the danger in opening up these budgets is because you're not only talking about the 610, but you're talking about a higher amount, and you're talking about some other issues, too.
Yeah. Mr. Gruber, do you have any input?
Madam Chairman, just the point that I think there is a difference. If you want it to be an AWAC, we should specify AWAC as opposed to one full-time position. And I'm not sure. I wasn't here for the discussion. I don't know what the governor's letter said, but how do you want to do it?
Well, it says, Madam Chair, it says one-time limited full-time position. That's why we stated it the way we did, Dave. But really, looking at it, you're right. I mean, it probably ought to be just two AWACs. The language just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Can we ask Richard what he thinks?
Either way, the position that's currently stated in this footnote would expire June 30th, 2012. So basically, they've got a position for about 15 months.
And our budget anyway.
Ready to move on, or are we still contemplating this?
Well, I mean, there's a couple ways to do it. One, if you wanted to, I'm wondering if we just eliminate the ambiguity by eliminating the language to the position and just allow the governor to spend the money and contract whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is,
that's
my heartburn is with creating a position in a football like this. But, I mean, if the without changing the intent, if we eliminate the language to the position and give him 6-10 to do that and just let him sort it out.
Madam Co-Chair.
Go ahead, Senator Von Slater.
So, Mr. Co-Chair, you want to just strike from the word one down through the rest of that sentence, so the money's there, but the position.
Change the intent, but your motion doesn't do harm by eliminating that sentence, or just the one to footnote. I'd be inclined to do it and just leave the governor to sort out how he does it. If he wants to contract with an employee, he can do that.
Right.
He doesn't need authority to do that. But to create a position that's time limited makes no sense to me. I don't want to. I think this is one of those areas where if that's what we all intended is just to give the governor discretion, let's just give him the money and let him figure out how to do the plays.
Is it okay if I ask Richard if he has an opinion?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Cox, do you have an opinion on this? Don's got it.
Madam Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
The governor's original letter was... the total amount should be 610, and that was the amount that was put in the profile. So the amount is 610 and not like 1.2 million. The governor's letter asked for a full-time, time-limited position and one contract position. With respect to the contract position, I don't know what section it is, but there's a section in the original budget bill that gives the governor the authority to create AWAC positions. And so he could create... you know, an AWAC position, you wouldn't even have to reference the contract position in the footnote because he can create AWACs, but he did ask for the one full-time position, but, you know, I'm sure he would do what the committee directs. Two AWACs, it might be best to put that in there if you want to specify an amount or something and not put the position in. But
well, we don't know the amount.
Well, I think that given that, if we do one additional full-time, time-limited position, does that implement the governor's rec?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Okay, then I think let's do it in a way that implements the rec, which was what the motion was. So it's one additional. You need to even have full-time. Why don't you just one additional time-limited position? The word full-time have to be in there?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, in my mind, the difference between giving a full-time position, even time-limited, and an AWAC is, if it's classified as a full-time position, that implies benefits are paid for it. An AWAC is whatever the contract is negotiated for. That's why I'm saying this language just doesn't make sense to me. The time-limited full-time position, it just doesn't compute for me. We haven't done time-limiteds in like 15 or 20 years.
So let's do one at-will employee, and that would implement it. Would everybody agree that implements the governor's rec?
Yeah, I agree. That's the spirit. Okay.
It's a one AWAC.
Okay. Okay. You're moving right along. Okay.
Okay, so Madam Chair, just to be clear, all of the 610 is in this governor's office budget. It's not spread out.
Right.
And, you know, that's up to him to do via the B11 process. And again, the $100,000 for the staffing transitions, that's footnote 7. That's the end of the changes in the governor's office. So So moving on to the Secretary of State, we added $20,000 in that administration line for new directories, and that's stated in footnote 3.
Yep. That's the big spender over there.
Madam Chair, the next one is State Auditor's Office, and this is one where I actually have a note to talk to you about this one. The first thing is the brucellosis testing, as the committee voted to take it out of the Livestock Board and place it here in the State Auditor's Office with footnote number 2 that requires governor's signature or governor's written approval for expense or for expenditure. And, you know, talking to Richard today, who also looked at this bill over the weekend, he raised a really good point. And I think it probably makes sense to take that salary money that's in A&I and the insurance money and add those into two different lines here in State Auditor. That's where we've handled the salary money in the past and also the insurance monies in the past. And then the question is, if you want to do that, my other question is, do you also want to pull that $6 million out of UW and put it in here for the auditor to disperse to UW?
The answer is yes.
I think
and
so.
Also, and all of them would require governor's consent, so we have plans as they go out.
Yeah. Everybody okay with that?
Okay. So, Madam Chair, to be clear, again, you're not changing the substance of what you voted on Friday. You're simply voting on, or, you know, changing the mechanics of how it's implemented.
Okay.
Yep.
That's it for the State Auditor, and then we move into A&I. We just discussed the one big issue, which is reflected down there in Human Resources. I'm looking at two different bills here, so pardon
number
me.
Number 4, though, goes to A&I.
Right. That number 4.
The auditors, I mean.
The auditors.
Right. Madam Chair, that footnote will be pulled out of here. And I think that's the only one that has to come out. But we will also state that insurance, where having the insurance in A&I before didn't require a footnote because the intent was clear with the way it was laid out in the budget. Now we will have a footnote for the insurance in for both sections, for UW and for the executive branch. Both footnotes will be in there.
So now we're on 5, where we need to add the governor to that, in this one down here. Is that it? The CIO?
Yeah, Madam Chair, there's a few things that have gone on here, and I guess I'd just like to point that out to you. General Services contains, without a footnote, the $266,788 for the Rockwell building. It also contains $300,000 for utilities. This is general fund money. And over on the Internal Services funding, over on the right-hand side, or in the, you know, in the second from the right column,
what page are you looking at?
I'm looking at page 7. And we're still in general services. And these are just dollars that you voted on. And like I say, if you don't want to go through the things that don't require footnotes, we don't have to touch on them. But these are dollars that you voted on in the budget.
I think mine are on 6, but you're talking about the A&I.
Talking about A&I.
So general services.
General services, where you see that little footnote 2. That general services line is adjusted by these amounts that I'm giving you.
Okay.
And there are no footnotes associated with these.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. So you're talking about the Rockwell building maintenance.
You did $266,788 for Rockwell. That's in general fund. There's $300,000 contained in the utilities line in general fund. And over on the internal services money in the other funds, for general services, there's a lot of services. Vehicle depreciation reserve is that change there. That's the $1,232, $1.2 million. Okay? And the only other...
Excuse me, Madam Chairman.
Go ahead.
You're going to have to provide us a cheat sheet for those things that are buried inside the footnotes.
Madam Chair, we absolutely will.
So we make sure we get them to the floor.
Yep. We'll have complete cheat sheets as soon as we have a bill for you, so we can refer to page and line numbers and all of that and keep you right on track with where those changes occurred.
Okay.
Madam Chairman. Or Mr. Chairman. Madam Chairman.
Sorry, Senator Hester.
Well, just a question here, and maybe this was just answered with his comment here, but, you know, we had quite a bit of discussion on vehicles and made some changes. Now, and I guess maybe just a quick edification on the kind of things that need to be footnoted and things that don't in this particular case. I'm just, maybe that would help clarify for me.
Bill.
Madam Chair, typically if it's spelled out in the budget and it's not an unusual kind of request, in other words, this is a pretty typical budget request, as long as it's spelled out clearly in the budget, it's clearly in a line item, it has a clear funding source, you don't footnote those kinds of things. You just vote on the motion. That gives the budget office the direction it needs to carry it out and hold those agencies' feet to the fire, although in this case it would be Richard holding his boss's feet to the fire.
Madam Chairman, by way of explanation, the budgets are built to implement by narrative that are in the budget books that the budget staff understand, and then they follow through to make sure those are done. But they're also designed, the text of the budget, to prevent line item veto. And by putting the amount inside the line, the amount can't line item veto out the total amount. If you put a footnote and you put in below, for example, suppose you put an increase and you put a footnote, amount increase to provide for Rockwell Building, the governor then could line it out the text. The funding is still in, so you don't know what the heck the money is there for. So as you begin to think what becomes a narrative and what not, you have to think in terms of what happened if on item 5 the governor deleted the entire line and yet increased funding above. So to the extent that, you know, the rule is that if it's in the budget, it's well described, we pass the governor's budget, it increased the funding level, then the budget office will administer it through the budget book, and there's no provision for a line item veto. And everywhere we do have a narrative, you just have to appreciate that it's susceptible to a line item veto. I guess, in a sense, that when you reincorporate old text, the governor has every right to go and line item out old text, too. If you wanted to, if it's there, it could be line item out. So it's just an interesting thing to note.
Madam Chair, Don also pointed out to me that in that packet that I gave him, there's a replacement page for 6 with adjusted numbers in it. Again, this is one of those agencies that had some issues with the numbers that spit out of the system, but no footnote changes or anything like that. And Madam Chair, I think the last thing in Agency 6 is what you just brought up. That's that footnote 5. Making the CIO an at-will employee that serves at the pleasure of the director of the Department of Administration and of Administration and Information. It's late.
And the governor, I thought.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess that's the language we're discussing
okay. Now.
That
ANI.
And, Madam Chair,
go ahead.
There's a gentleman seated behind me and to my right. They would like the governor in there, too, along with him making this decision.
Footnote 5.
Oh, okay.
No, that's okay. Does that work with you, though?
Madam Madam Chair, now your Senator Nicholas, now your auditor comment makes sense to me. You were talking about footnote 4. And, yeah, that's the one that will move to the auditor's office.
Why did you serve the pleasure of one or the other? I suppose two people can confer. But if you want to leave it at the...
Well, and I thought we had been asked to do it at serve at the pleasure of the governor. Was I wrong about that?
Well, he serves the pleasure of the governor right now, but he's not in A&I. He's under, he's right now, his position is not underneath the...
Madam Chair, I believe you asked the advice of the incoming A&I director at that point in time, and that was the position at the time, but...
Yeah. Okay, you want to go back? Hold on. We're doing 5 first. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it has education state employee. What's that?
What's
university
that? So he serves the is he in A&I and is he served the governor or is he in the governor?
Chairman, actually, the statute just says,
go ahead.
The governor is authorized to employ a state CIO, and then it doesn't state whether he serves at the pleasure or not. I was just checking to see and on whether he is carrying the personnel as an at-will employee.
Well, I don't know. I guess what you could do is say pleasure of the governor with consultation, after consultation with the, or with the director after consultation with the governor. So that give you the cover you need. So after director put, after consultation with the governor, so it recognizes that the governor did the first employment, but we need to make this migration.
Does that work for the committee?
Okay. I think, by the way, what that does is that when the next budget comes around, he rolls into the standard budget and then serve at the pleasure of the director because the consultation would fall off. Because it's not, as I, Dave, you're saying it's not a statutory position. It's a budgetary position?
Well, Mr. Chairman, actually, it is in statute, but it just says he shall employ or is authorized to employ a CIO, the governor.
Well, I guess then what we probably put that on our to-do list to put a new statute, we're going to move it into A&I.
Absolutely. I mean, this is kind of a notwithstanding footnote.
Okay. All right. And then, Representative Walsh, you got it figured out?
Yep.
Okay. Bill, we can continue.
Okay, Madam Chair. Couple of things going on in the military department, section 007. There is a footnote on the Army National Guard that says that no general funds shall be included in the agency's 2013-14 standard budget request for the Youth Challenge Program. And the reason why that's there, even though there's no general fund money in that line item, is that the discussion in the committee was that for some salary shortfalls they had there, they would probably be transferring some 100 series around, which could involve general fund monies. So this footnote will prevent that from coming back as a standard budget request.
Oh, yeah.
Madam Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator Hatcher.
Thank you. Just, again, for my understanding, is this saying that when the governor prepares his budget, there won't be this additional money? Or it's not preventing, a future, as we decide next time or in our budget session that we want to put general fund money in. This is just preventing just saying the governor wouldn't do that? Or, I mean, I'm just trying to make sure I understand that. Is this obligating us for the next?
No, Madam Chairman, all it's doing is saying it can't come back in the standard. That doesn't mean it can't come back in an exception request. Doesn't mean that you can't add it or it can't be added on the floor.
It doesn't involve the governor at all. What it means is the budget staff, when they prepared the standard budget coming into the Gov's Recs, so ultimately they at some point, sometime next summer, they develop a standard budget against which the governor makes his Recs. If we give a position, it gets rolled in. If we do a 900 series, it may get rolled in. If we do a 903 series, it gets rolled out. And it tells the budget staff that to not include general funds in that process.
Okay, so Madam Chairman, I think that so the agency would then just have to, when they meet with the governor, would have to request that.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Okay, Bill.
Madam Chair, the other issues that changed, or the other line items that changed, their veteran services. $75,000 was added for additional VA claims processing. Apparently, at the VA hospital,
right.
They're going to hire some contract people. Is that right, Richard?
Yes,
contract
with contract the soldier people. And sailors home. Yeah, soldier and sailors home with the VA in Sheridan.
There's also $57,500 added for the War on Terror kiosks. And then moving down to Oregon Trail Vet Cemetery, you added $50,000 for burial assistance and maintenance at the Vet Cemetery. And that's the extent of the changes in military department. The next page, same page for you. Moving on to Office of Public Defender, mm-hmm. You added $200,000 for capital cases in the public defender statewide, and you converted two AWACs to full-time positions. So that's the position change. Next issue is in Department of Ag, and we'll just start with the first one in Consumer Protection Division. That went up $23,000 for Analytic Services Lab. Natural Resources Division had two increases, $200,000 for rangeland health assessment. And $2.66 million for grasshopper abatement efforts. None of this is footnoted. Moving on to the next issue, $250,000 was added into the state fair account, and that is footnoted. It's footnote number two. Some fairly lengthy language describing all of that.
Madam Chair, can I ask?
In the bill, we put that same language, so we got circular. So
yeah.
In the bill, we'll have to take that out on the floor because we said it's reduced by this appropriation. I suppose you could reduce it down to zero by accident. If you had the language, the same language in both ones, you might get reduced to zero.
Madam Chair, that was my question. Is this the same language right out of the bill?
I think it is. We added into the subcommittee, so we need to take it out of one or the other.
Dave?
Senator, Madam Chairman, basically what I did was take the bill and paraphrase it down to a paragraph. So I think the whole thing in the bill would work with this if this budget went through. Now, if you want the more elaborate language in the bill, that's fine, and you're right. We'll have to conform the two.
But we can either take the appropriation out of the bill and leave this language, or we have to take that language out so the bill supersedes. But we've got it reversed order a little bit. We'll clear it up.
And, Madam Chair, next issue, you added $25,000 for state fair equipment in that special revenue other funds category. And that's it for ag.
Oh, yeah.
Or pardon me, 72,000, thanks, Tom. Yeah.
The state fair equipment, right?
Yeah, Madam Chair, in under state fair, in the other funds category, $72,000 special revenue.
Okay.
Not footnoted, just part of the budget request. And there's a new page or section 10 in that handout with current numbers. I guess I would point out one thing to you. There was a digit dropped off of a federal funds amount in Department of Ag that will show up in this bill. It's that 1048369 number. The 9 somehow got dropped off in last year's bill. So we'll correct that. DEQ is section 20. Believe there's just one change to this one. It's $1.5 million for the permit backlog assistance.
Yep.
Next section is 24, State Parks and Cultural Resources. A few things going on there. In cultural resources, you added $1 million for the cultural trust. There's footnote 1 that strikes the existing language and replaces it with that language that reflects the addition of money. You added $50,000 for shelving in footnote 2, specifying how it can be spent. You added $20,000 for microfilm equipment with no footnote. It was part of the budget request. And $5,000 for a lift purchase, same thing, no footnote. Moving down to state parks and historic sites, none of these have footnotes associated with them. They were part of a detailed budget request. $80,000 for pine beetle mitigation, $200,000 for equipment, and $250,000 for Vets Memorial to Cody. And that one actually seemed like it warranted a footnote to me, but I went back and looked at all the other vet memorials we've done over the last several years, and we never footnoted them. We just added them to this budget.
Yeah. And there isn't a bill out there on your side, is there, with the vet memorial? I don't think so. Okay.
We're just going to say what they put in. Trying to confuse you.
Yeah. Madam Chair,
go ahead.
the next budget is Wildlife Natural Resources Trust, and that's simply a $2.5 million addition to the Wildlife Trust account.
Or a reduction based on the governor's budget.
Madam Chair, that's to the corpus.
Just had to do that, Senator Peterson.
When we do the narratives, when you do the cheat sheet, that's what I meant, when you do the cheat sheets, I guess if we ask the question if it's one time or ongoing, I mean, you put them in categories that we'd have to really study, but I assume that, you know, like, for example, this would be a one-time.
Right.
But I wonder if it's worthwhile as we put in the footnotes, or the cheat sheets, not the footnotes, that for explanation on the floor, whether it's one-time or ongoing or some.
Yeah, Madam Chair, we can certainly do that. Typically, the trust would be considered a one-time request. Everything else that's specifically one time, we do note that. And we'll note it in the cheat sheets. And more often than not, like footnote 1 from last year with that $6 million for projects, it's noted as one time. Essentially, it's noted as a one-time because it says the 13-14 standard budget won't
contain. That's a big enough item. People are going to ask that question.
Yeah.
So on some of these items, use your discretion, but if it's one-time, just OT or something.
Yeah. And, Madam Chair, you only have a few of these trust almost said trust issues. Yeah, you only have $13.5 million of trust funding here, so we'll footnote all of those.
We have a lot of trust issues. Okay.
Madam Chair, moving on to Game and Fish Commission. You added $610,976 of general fund monies and $450,000 of special revenue authorization for the aquatic invasive species. They requested 29 AWACs with that. You guys don't appropriate AWACs, so. No, yeah, we're okay.
Go ahead, Representative Waffle.
Would you fill me in on the AWAC thing? I was just wondering why we don't have a line for them where we have authorized employees, and then you just mentioned this, we don't appropriate AWAC. So how does that work?
Madam Chair, the way that works is this money gets put in the 600 series for contracts, and they just contract for however many positions they can fund out of it. So they built this budget based on 29 AWACs. And the budget process just doesn't account for AWAC positions. You do that by default by putting this in the appropriate series.
So when we do the regular budget, then we get to see how many AWACs?
Well, it doesn't. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, the AWAC position counts do show up in A&I's budget documents, so the documents you get from A&I contain those counts.
Yeah, go back and trace it.
But it's in some ways it's kind of meaningless because positions can be added or deleted as monies are available in the AWAC category.
Okay. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, the next budget is Department of Transportation 045. A few changes going on there. You added $3.9 million in airport improvements, along with footnote 4 and footnote 5. Footnote 4 says, it directs the commercial air service component of that. And footnote 5 is requiring a report to joint transportation and joint appropriations on the effectiveness of those general fund investments.
Senator Meyer?
Bill, how come this is footnoted? Because I can see that last sentence being vetoed, and I'm wondering if there's no way we can't chew the horn that into the regular budget. Wasn't it a specific request for this type of funding in the standard budget or in the exception or in our supplemental budget?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure I understand that question,
well,
Senator Meyer.
I know that there was general fund appropriations that was requested in the governor's budget, correct?
Yes.
For this.
Right.
And we didn't agree with the amount, and we lessened it, right?
No, we increased it. I mean, we went to the full recommendation of Governor Meade.
Well, Right, and so why isn't that just in the budget book and not here?
Madam Chair, it came as a governor's letter, and you also put some additional language on this, specifying, for instance, that it's one time, you know, that it won't be included as standard budget.
Right.
So it's just clarification, and I think because it came as a governor's letter.
Okay, so governor's letter is different than the budget books. We need to change that. We need to say it's the budget book if it comes in a governor's letter. Just then we don't have to worry about vetoes.
Well, Madam Chair, it's pretty much always the prerogative of the committee whether to footnote it or not, whether it's a governor's letter or not.
But is it fair to say that if we give direction to the agency with that appropriation, that it would probably be footnoted?
If there's an ambiguity between, if we add a requirement, we change a requirement, or there are different documents that create ambiguity, we resolve it by footnote. So in this instance, it wouldn't have, our intent would not have been implemented by the document. So the only way to change it is to get the governor to only offer up things that we agree with in the first instance, which just gets kind of complicated. Or force him to change his record, which he wouldn't do. So, I mean, it's just the way the process is.
Madam Chair, plus Dave likes to use the word hereby, so this was an opportunity for him.
So if you cut and paste on that frequently?
And then there's footnote 5, requiring the report on the effectiveness. Footnote 6 applies to one-time funding. Mm-hmm. Of the general fund appropriation to the commission. You added $40 million to that general fund appropriation. And Dave actually raises an interesting question on this. Is it just the $40 million that's one time, or is it the whole 90 that's one time?
No. I think it's based on this action.
Mr. Chairman, just for clarification, is it true that it is just on the 40, is the footnote on the budget?
Yeah.
Clarify that it applies to the 40, the new 40.
Yeah. Madam Chair?
Go ahead, Senator Bonslater.
Would it be easier just to strike footnote 6?
To put one-time part of it. Let's go back to it.
Go ahead, Bill. Do you have a comment?
Madam Chairman, actually, are we done with that issue or still deciding?
If we voted to the whole 96, which I doubt that we did, it only applied to the 40 that we voted on.
Madam Chairman, that was Dave's interpretation of it.
So it just needs to be a little more explicit to say the $40 million is one time.
Okay. Madam Chair, the other footnote and $6 million on that is for the railroad crossings.
Yeah, that's an additional $6 million.
Right. So the total that you added to that line is $46 million.
Right. And Go ahead.
What I wanted to do is ask about this language. That's I understand it that you've incorporated language from a House bill that never passed?
Never was introduced.
Or never even introduced?
Go ahead.
How can you do a reference to a document that's not law?
Madam Chair, Senator, I think you can. It's just like referencing the sheet of paper over here that says you'll do it in accordance with this report. And if you look at the language, it doesn't say you'll do it in accordance with the law. It says you'll do it in accordance with the language of that bill as it passed the House of Representatives. So it's just like using any other report and say, follow that language.
I remember this motion, but I don't remember all this other language that came with it. But
remember, it was all to be determined, the language.
Okay.
They've been working on it for days. Huh?
Nope.
They've been in the quiet zone on this issue? Okay.
The speaker was over there writing our language while we were in voting.
Uh-huh. He was helping us out. Okay.
Madam Chairman, you have a replacement page for 045 also with those numbers. This whole thing will be replaced with a draft bill when you see it next time. So
I just wanted to ask, Dave, Mr. Gruber, and you were okay now with this language? You and Mr. Speaker have worked through this and we're set?
Madam Chairman, last Friday, I understand it's okay. And the other option, if you don't want to use the House bill, we could repeat all that language, but I don't know how else you would have gotten those matching amounts and that listing of assessed valuation inverse formula, or you know, I don't know, without repeating it all.
Okay. You're right, Bill. All right. Thank you. So we're on health. Bill, did you make a lot of changes to Agency 48?
Yeah, Madam Chairman.
On the substitute sheet?
So
I'm wondering,
actually,
could the committee go to the substitute sheet while you walk through that?
Madam Chairman, it doesn't matter all that much. I mean, you're not going to be able to see the dollar amounts. I'll just... the bottom lines are right.
Yeah.
At least.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, there are a few changes that'll show up here. For instance, community and public health will be community and family health to match last year's budget bill.
Okay.
But in addition to that, under director's office, you added $600,000 for a tax refund for the elderly and disabled, not footnoted. Under community and family health, not public health, you added footnote 14. You modified footnote 14, and you added $15,000 to that. That's for the epilepsy program.
Oh, right.
So we simply, if you recall the discussion on Friday, the motion was made to change that to tobacco trust money, so it's all coming out of tobacco trust. It's now 42.5 instead of 27.5.
Right. Okay. The blind.
Healthcare financing is the really big one here, obviously. You added $609,350, this is all general fund I'm speaking of, for Kid Care CHIP, $140,000 for quality assurance programs. And in addition, you added the corresponding federal monies, which is 50-50 match. $41.2 million for Medicaid expenditures with the federal match. $1,275,949 for DD services with federal match. And $76,298 for ABI services with the federal match. 76,298. And again, you know, all these numbers will be spelled out on the cheat sheets, so don't worry about taking too detailed the notes. And we'll walk through those cheat sheets with you as well. Okay, the state health officer, you added $383,000 for the EMTs along with footnote 15. And that's in addition to the $82,225 that was already added in the governor's budget due to lost federal funds. Under preventive health and safety, no, not yet, Madam Chair.
Those are
that's division on aging.
Okay.
Clear down at the bottom of that budget.
He hasn't gotten there yet, right?
that's the footnote. Madam Chair, just going through this program by program, you added $200,000 for tobacco trust monies for biennialization of the worksite wellness program. The next one you added in mental health substance abuse, $200,000 of general fund for the Washakie Crisis Stabilization Center.
Go ahead, Senator Peterson. Was that not enough?
No, I think that was. But I just the name. What was it?
Not Center, just Washakie Crisis Stabilization. That's just my name. There's not a specific note attached.
It's more of a regional, but it's a four-bed. It's the same. Okay.
Yeah, it's the same one.
I think it was $200,000, Madam Chairman.
Sorry for the... I am now on page 17. Mm-hmm. That was the Washakie Crisis Stabilization money, $200,000. It's not footnoted.
Kurt, stop confusing him.
No.
You're on page 17. I have a disappointment. It looks to me like you were on going through the budget, not on.
Madam Chair, I'm on page 17. We can add that $200,000 to the $850 that's in footnote 8.
Okay, so on page 16, number 8.
I don't know. I've got a different one. What's this one?
Well, and it's stated as Washakie Medical Center in Warland.
This is great.
Regional Crisis Stabilization Center in Warland.
Right, okay.
It's for the four counties up there, so it doesn't have anything to do with the medical center, the hospital.
Yeah, this is the old language.
Thanks a lot.
Old language.
Right.
On number 8, because it's pulled in.
Right.
Okay.
Wrong. It was the same. It was the appropriation.
I asked they were for, if that's where they wanted it, and they said
that's what they called it, but it's...
Go ahead. Don. All right.
It's okay.
Okay.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
The next issue is in developmental disabilities. And, okay, I'm going to swap over that. I've apparently got 3 copies of this thing going. So it's my fault, Mr.
So there
Co-chair.
is a reason to be confused.
I now understand, I think, what's happening. You're going through your line items. I was going through footnotes.
Madam Chair, in my own defense, I did ask if you wanted to just do footnoted items.
Yeah, in fact, you asked a couple of times.
Well, it took me a while, but I'm starting to figure it out.
Okay, so under DD, we added $1,564,997 general fund for preschool services.
Mm-hmm.
Division of Aging, footnote 10. we added $1 million for the senior centers, and I believe there's some discussion to be had here, because I took the liberty of my own volition to add that $1 million to footnote 10, and apparently that wasn't the intent. So, having talked with Senator Meyer, and having talked with Richard and the Department of Health, it's my understanding that actually this $1 million was intended to go under the old formula. And I have 2 questions about that. One is, the old formula, if I can find my reference materials here, is
Is the old formula the statutory formula?
Senator Meyer?
Okay, because if it's the old formula, if it's the statutory formula, all we need to do is put the $1 million in here, and that's the way it'll go. And we'll take it out of that footnote and not add a new footnote, just add the money.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, my motion was that both the $400,000 and $1 million would be in the development of next year's standard budget or be biannualized. That was the motion.
I don't remember that.
You guys don't
Second.
Remember
no.
that?
No.
Come
no.
on.
No, we said one time on that, Senator Meyer.
No, we did not,
but
Madam Chairman.
We did. But I want to jump to why are we going to the old language of the old formula over the 2009 formula.
Okay, Madam Chairman, that was just a request of the senior centers because they even though they have the problems with the labor situation, there were other areas as far as expenses that they felt they needed to go to, and I think it was to keep peace among the natives across the centers and the senior centers. Myself, my preference is to leave it exactly where it's at, but that's not what I was asked to do. Yeah, my preference, you know, personal preference is just to leave it exactly the way it is in the budget, but that was not the motion I made, and that was not what we voted on. You know, because what we voted on was to leave the $400,000 where it was, put $1 million into the standard distribution formula, and that both of them would be carried over to the next biennium in the standard budget. Exact word.
I'm serious.
There you go.
I remember the discussion being one time, but I guess we could go look back on the tapes. But what I did remember was you saying that because of the increase in food costs, whereas in 2009 we established the formula based on salaries, and the old model is based on the other cost of doing business for those services? Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
The new formula that we based on 2009 was just specifically for labor costs.
Right.
And the formula previous to that brought in a variety of different factors, labor being one of them, but other things included.
Bill, can you help me see the light?
Madam Chair, there are a couple of things going on here, and I wasn't really completely sure what the direction of the committee was. Speaking with the maker of the motion indicated to me that we were going back to the statutory distribution. What we did in 2008 was the statutory distribution, but it was directed toward direct care personnel. And then we have this language. So doesn't matter to me. Whatever the will of the committee is, and just for clarification, staff's notes indicate that the discussion was around ongoing appropriation, was that it would be biennialized next time.
All right, Senator Meyer, so you're right once. Well, I do remember that it was based not on labor cost, but based on food cost, that you brought the motion.
Madam Chairman, I did mention it was for things like Meals on Wheels and things like that and the other expenses associated with senior centers, and that's the standard distribution formula that isn't related to the formulas that we had before that was directed toward bringing up wages either in this the $400,000 or the previous
right.
one. So I just went into the standard formula.
What do you think, Mr. Co-Chairman?
Well, I think the issue is with respect to the I don't remember a motion to open up any old language. The million, I guess, what I've got is 048 Meyer Senior Centers, $1 million. And that's what I've got.
Go ahead, Bill.
And Madam Chair, if there was no discussion of footnotes or anything else, the intent should be enough.
Okay.
Well, is it the direction of the committee to remove that $1 million from that $400,000 footnote?
Yeah.
It just goes in the note. I mean,
yep. Yeah. And we were going to do less, too, and we still got that million. Okay, Bill, thanks for clearing that up for us.
Madam Chair, we added, the committee added $90,000 for the Vets Home Services, and that's it for Department of Health.
Okay.
Moving on to livestock department, or livestock board, rather. There were monies added into the administration line for software and hardware replacement.
Mm-hmm.
There were monies added into brand inspection in the other funds column for Wildlink, the brand book, and G-Form writers.
Right. Okay.
The next issues I have are in Community College Commission 057. You added in under the state aid line for general fund, you added $3,422,532 for operations costs due to enrollment increases. You added $412,000 to Wyoming Public TV for a high-definition truck upgrade, and you added back $557,707 that reverted in the WPTV endowment, and you added that footnote language back in. It's footnote 3. And to be clear about this, before you even take this to the floor, this footnote language would again revert that money June 30, 2012, and I believe the committee clarified that.
Okay.
So if it's not matched by then, it'll revert again. Next one is Wyoming Tourism Board 066. That's an addition of $1,350,000 general fund for their promotion programs. Next one is in University of Wyoming, Section 67. Again, we talked about $6 million of this will now be moved to the state auditor's office. And footnote 3 that specified the expenditure of that money, obviously will be removed from this. You added $3.5 million for the endowment, and that's footnote 5. And that language actually is changed a little bit, too, I think, in this handout that I gave you. They've clarified that, and I think we have it a little cleaner now. The other change in University of Wyoming was the addition of those FMR monies, and I know the Senate Appropriations Committee is dealing with that bill now, or maybe just dealt with it today, but this is kind of a double kill on that FMR deal. So this just authorizes the money they've already gotten or will get in this biennium. And that footnote is there as footnote 4. Department of Corrections, we added a footnote there in operations, and the utilities monies and the conditions of expenditure and the fact that it's not supposed to come back in the 13-14 standard budget. You also added $50,000 in that line item for software. And then in the Women's Center and in the Penn, there's a little bit of money in there for utilities that are not included under the auspices of that footnote 4. You just voted on those as separate budget line items, actual increases, so they're not projected increases. Madam Chair, the other...
Yeah. We're all about that.
Is it my voice?
No, it's not a lullaby.
The Wyoming Medium Correctional Institution, you added, again, not footnoted, $2.5 million for overtime expenses and also some additional utilities that aren't included in that footnote 4. Moving on to Supreme Court, you added $80,000 in that administration budget for the renewal of the time study.
Yeah.
Section 120, Judicial District 1A, you added a little bit of money and converted a part-time to a full-time position. Same thing in 121, Judicial District 1B. You added $7,000 for a copier in Section 137, Laramie County District 1C. And Section 160, you added some money for reimbursements to counties. And right after 160 is where we're going to need to insert Agency 167, which is the UW Medical Education budget, so that we can change that footnote from 18 to 20 positions for Wyoming. Section 205, Education School Finance, you added $15,000 of school foundation monies for the campers. You also added that school foundation program recalibration, that line will actually be underlined, the program line will be underlined. That's new to take into account the effects of the recalibration bill going through. You added a new board of midwifery, Section 36. You added a full-time position and some special revenue monies to the Medical Licensing Board, 052. 054, you converted two AWECs to full-time positions and added money in the special revenue other funds.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I just saw a note, footnote of my own on page 26 for our book, which is footnote 3, where you summer educational programs offered during the summer months. I just don't. We went from 15, struck 15,000, inserted 25,000, and I'm trying to remember that action. I don't remember.
That's the 10,000 for the school, the blind. Their summer school program. This is the.
I didn't follow over.
So
I see
it. Harshman had asked for 15,000 last year, and then we add the 10, so it brings it to a total of 25.
Okay. I needed the.
Okay. Does that help, Senator? Okay, great.
Okay, Madam Chairman, moving into capital construction in Section 3 of the bill. Agency 6, we added footnote 7 to the overall agency. And all footnote 7 says is of reversions from the labs, you can spend $200,000 for landscaping at the state vet lab.
And they need it.
Across from the state of Wyoming historical territorial park. You guys own it.
It's enhancing the view shed. Remember the word view shed. Okay. Bill.
Madam Chairman, on still in Agency 6 in CAPCON, under State Building Commission contingency, we added footnotes 4 and 5. 4 is just the $10,000, and it's also reflected in this budgetary amount.
$10,000 for the long-term study of the governor's mansion, whether to continue to remodel, tear it down, rebuild, whatever.
Okay.
You also added $200,000 to remodel, to do some current remodeling at the governor's mansion.
Representative Harshman.
Just a question, you know, on four, on this $10,000, is that on that specific site, or are there some other sites that, we're... What was kind of the discussion?
Well, a good sponsor of that amendment for $10,000 is here. Yeah, he's not here. Senator Meyer brought that, and the discussion was just to start researching possibilities.
So the St. Mary's site? That's not what I've been here. I mean, that's a beautiful spot.
Governor's Mansion? We've created our own site for the governor's mansion before we have the research?
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious.
No,
that's how these things all start with rumor.
Well, Senator Nicholas, go ahead.
Want to get out there.
I don't think this even gets to the side. This is the structure itself.
Yes.
Okay, that's just checking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's not start that discussion, okay? It's just on the design for what could be a possibility. Go ahead, Bill.
Madam Chairman, you also replenished those accounts, the State Building Commission contingency and the ANI Flex contingency. You added the Safeway building level 1 and 2 design. And again, none of these have footnotes. ANI Hathaway building renovation, no footnote. Afton Armory rehab, Worland Armory rehab, cantonment utility upgrade, 575. Vet Cemetery Road and Bridge. And then you footnoted the Department of Ag Livestock Pavilion with footnote number 6. That's $344,000 for the ventilation system. And there's a provision in there to investigate whether or not there can be some recovery via warranty claims. I believe the rest of them that are underlined, and actually the project names ought to be underlined as well. Game Fish Wigwam Rearing Station, ADA compliant comfort stations, public access areas, elk fence upgrade, WBS design, WWC parent-child program, and WHF building study. All those programs will be underlined.
So, Bill, you know, back on 6, when we asked the Attorney General to investigate that, then do they report back to us just automatically on that? I mean, how will we know?
Madam Chairman, we don't, as of this footnote, we don't have any provision in there for a report back, but...
So how do we know they do it?
Well, the AG is directed to do it.
Okay. All right.
Wyoming Attorney General shall investigate the possibility of warranty claims.
So we'll trust them. Okay. Thanks. Go ahead.
Madam Chairman, the next one is Community College Commission. You added that Casper College Early Childhood Learning Center with special revenue money. Then University of Wyoming, Section 67, added some footnotes to that. Let's see, footnote 2 specifies the FMR funding for that UW-Casper College joint facility. Footnote 3 specifies the bonding. Footnote 4 prohibits the sale or... It prohibits the use of proceeds of the sale of the Poplar facility if it sells. And then the next project is the UW-Sheridan College joint facility. And moving into the Section 300s, and we do have a little bit of language we need to add here.
I'm looking for my...
Okay.
Okay, Madam Chair, we'll just go through section 300. Couple changes there. The dollar amounts only change because you need more money to transfer out of the budget reserve account to balance the general fund. We also added paragraph C, which says all unappropriated, unobligated, and unencumbered funds remaining in the general fund shall be transferred to the LSRA, so we don't run into any issues of intent at the end of this biennium or at the end of a fiscal year.
Right. No more emails. It's clear.
Mm-hmm. We hate to bother you guys with those things, and we know you're busy.
Got to find them first.
Madam Chair, Section 306, it was part of the overall plan that you had with Medicaid, and it just removes that limitation on how much of the $25 million of the Medicaid reserve is available in the case of shortfalls. The whole 25 is now available. You also added paragraph B there, which is the intent of that is to direct the Department of Family Services and Department of Health to work together to ensure that any new systems they implement from this point forward will accommodate a six-month review time frame for eligibility. Section 314, you change the language in that to just say that 244 out of those 251 positions are hereby eliminated. Section 330, Public Library Endowment Challenge Fund, you added $3 million to that. Local governments, you added the $35 million to that. And just for point of clarification, we've been talking about the assessment years, the tax assessment years.
Yeah.
And the way that state lands interpreted the last language, we actually need to change this 2009 to 2010 because their 2010 really is referencing 2009 assessed valuation. That's the latest available.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
So they call it 2010. It's just a matter of semantics.
Yeah. Okay. And that makes sense. All right. Okay.
Okay, Madam Chair, let me make sure mine are lining up with yours. What page are we on this?
So that takes us to page 35 to section 343 with the data centers?
Yeah, Madam Chair, data center recruitment, that one is largely unsolved, so we need to...
A work in progress until tomorrow?
Yeah, we need to finalize that with the co-chairs.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, they provided some information on my email that I haven't been to all day. So
okay.
Tomorrow I'll print it out and send it to everybody.
Okay. Does Mr. Gruber or Mr. Mai have questions on that? Okay, fine. That'll work.
We're eagerly awaiting further instruction.
We'll let the co-chair get some sleep and then you can respond.
Madam Chairman, Section 344, Community Colleges Endowment, $3.5 million that you added in that endowment. Section 345 is just the correction of that double funding in DEQ that occurred last year in two different bills.
Right.
Section 346 is addition of the Legislative Service Office IT requirements for the new bill drafting system.
Right.
Section 347 is the new AML funding, and along with that one, this is one that shows up on that supplemental sheet I gave you. In this draft that you got on Friday, I overlooked an issue that you guys voted on for UW, and that's amending 2008 session laws as amended by 2009 session laws, as amended by 2010 session laws, now being amended in 2011 session laws. Absolutely no joke about it.
That's Don Richards' deal?
That's what we're doing. Part of it's Don, part of it's Rick, I think, going back that far.
We still have Rick left in.
But so that new section, you guys voted on it. It's in. We'll include it in the official draft.
Got it.
And the 067 footnote on the $3.5 million endowment challenge needs to be changed too. And that was also language that you voted on. I did. Excuse me, Dave. Okay, that's it.
Okay.
Section 348 is Legislative Service Office appropriations. That's for salary money that you talked about. Section 349 is the new school CapCon. Section 300, that entire thing will be underlined. And that's it. That takes us through the rest of Section 300s. So we have the additional direction that we need. I guess we need to clarify that those provisions in the data center piece, and we'll include this omitted language and get you a copy of the draft bill.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead, Representative Parsons.
Just on page 45, Bill, I just want to make sure we're not getting in a bind on this. In the middle of that bottom paragraph on page 45, Romanette 4,
yep,
where it says prior to expenditure, this is the land acquisitions. It says prior to expenditure of amounts available for land acquisitions from the special contingency fund, the commission shall report proposed acquisitions to the co-chairman, joint appropriations committee, and the chairman of select facilities. So what does that mean? I mean, they can't buy it until they send us a letter, or what does that mean?
Yeah, Madam Chairman, that's certainly the way I took it from the committee's discussion.
And so, Madam Chair, then do we need to reply back? How does that, I mean, it's kind of a, they just need to send us a letter and they move forward.
Well, Madam Chairman, it was, I guess what I took from the discussion, and I don't mean to speak for the co-chairs, but what I took from the discussion was that they just wanted to be contacted and have the education.
Know that what's happening. Okay.
Yeah.
And they've sort of done that with, like, military. They advise us by email.
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Just one other thing on schools on page 47. On the Lincoln 1, and I think that's the Kimmer High School, and then the two down from that. The words completion on both of those. I don't know if that's an issue or not. I mean, we should get close to completion, but there might be these are both three-phase projects that we're trying to speed up. So when you say completion, it might not be completed. I don't know. Is that an issue, or is that just a – because the rest of these don't say that. They just say middle school. And I was wondering why those two say completion.
Was that the language that was in the original from SFC, that handout that we got from them?
Madam Chair, I don't think so, but – maybe it was. I'd have to
look.
That's what I was thinking.
This
is on page 47.
Yeah, I see
members.
It. Uh-huh.
So.
Yep, I see it's number 21 and 25.
Madam Chair, it'd probably be best if we checked with Dave Nelson. It looks like his lights are off, so we'll have to talk to him in the morning, but we can sure do that, Steve.
Okay. Senator Meyer?
Yeah,
and then
Madam
Senator
Chairman,
Von Slater.
I don't know if this is a misprint, but needs priority index at 233 for Johnson 1. 233 a misprint, or are we just jumping over 150 schools?
Do you know, Steve?
Planning too. They had those on. Let me just back up and look at this.
Bill, can you just check with Dave?
Madam Chair, if I had to guess, I'd say looking at page 45, it's probably not a misprint, given that a bunch of those projects are listed at 173,
mm-hmm,
188, and 247.
Those are component-type projects, but looking in the construction.
And it's also actually on page 45, Johnson 1 Elementary School is actually stated again at 233 at the top of that
That's
page.
That's what I was looking for. Where is that at?
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Top
at the very
of page 45.
Top of 45. It's the last one before the total at the very top.
That's a good question, I guess.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Madam Chairman, because we're going to do a design build on this thing. The way it looks, we're putting $1 million in it for design, and we're putting $10 million in for construction, and I just don't know how you make that leap. So I
that's what I assume.
Commission, for some reason, it jumped up. Maybe
yeah.
They had an earthquake.
Madam Chair, if I can interrupt, the new needs index, I think this is the 2010 needs index number, and
okay.
If you look at that new sheet that was handed out when SFC presented, it's on that single sheet.
Yep.
And so it's a different, this 2010 priority needs index is different than the one that's showing on the sheet now.
Could we, Madam Chairman, could we maybe have like a little one page how these things got reshuffled? Because some of these things are really, I think, are gonna, people are gonna see that and say, well, what's going on? And so we need to know what's going on.
Well, we can.
Yeah.
We can do the research on this and have that addressed when we come back.
Yeah,
right?
Madam Chair, I think Matt
Wilmoth's
got an index that he's
yeah.
that he's cross-linked, so
we'll
I'm sure
we
can provide that.
Yeah, it's getting late. Let's just make sure we have that for tomorrow.
Madam Chair, can I quickly?
Yep, and now go ahead, Senator Von Slater.
I blinked for a second on section 343, page 35, and that those numbers are going to be filled in by somebody tomorrow. We're going to get.
Madam,
I know I blinked at a moment there.
Right, we're going with the language. Our good chairman, co-chairman, is going to take care of that for us.
Madam Chair.
Representative Harshman, back on SFC on page
2. It is, and on the elementary school replacement, I think Bill's exactly right. I think that 233 number is a 2009 needs index, and the current, I'm looking at the handout they gave us, 2010, it has it as number 8.
Okay.
You know, why are we forced to use old needs index month? I mean, or maybe we can add a column in.
Well, why don't we have the updated needs index?
Wilmar, that's why we're looking at Matt.
Oh, there he is. Oh, he appeared.
Madam Chair, I didn't leave.
Okay, nor did we.
It sounds like you have some questions on the needs priority language. Subsection A of this section 300, if you look at that sentence in there, it states that we're using the needs priority index used to complete the biennial budget request. And so what we did was just do a crosswalk that the School Facilities Commission provided us on the 2009 needs index for the 2010 that they reestablished.
I think the answer is just what we asked for, and that is a cross-check so that, or maybe a couple pages out of the new one, just so we can explain on the floor why 233 Johnson number 1 jumped up so high. I assume Senator Schiffer went out and loaded some little demolitions on the footings
yeah.
and
different yeah. Madam Chair and Mr. Chairman, the reason why we did that is so in case there were duplications in the biennial budget request, that we wouldn't show that the same priority was being funded for two separate districts. So we just have we're using the same needs index from the same year. So in case one project does have the same needs index, that it doesn't appear that this year we're funding the same priority needs index. Does that make sense? So we don't have Madam Chair, so we don't have two number 25s or two number 8s.
Right.
It just flows the same way. And since we're finishing off the project in Lincoln County, they have the same project number. so they tie back to one another. It just makes it seamless for this biennium.
So on our cheat sheet for SFC, then we should just have that clearly stated that this is what the index means.
Madam Chair, and I can provide you a crosswalk. That's not a big deal.
Go ahead, Senator Meyer, and then Mr. Chair.
And I think that really that probably the way you ought to do it, if you got different needs index for different years and same priority, you do -9-10. You know, so then you don't have that. You could have 21-9 and 21-10. Then we know when that needs index was done. You don't have the same number, and you don't have 233 and 351 show up, and people are wondering, well, what happened to the other 150 schools? So.
Matt.
Madam Chair, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, however you guys want to display it, it's fine with us. We just did this for the ease of comparing budgets to budgets, the standard budget to the supplemental budget.
Mr. Co-Chairman?
You know, I still struggle with the Casper projects. We've lumped them together. That's the $84 million. The notion is you build three facilities for that, or is that a phased-in?
Representative Harshman.
Madam Chair, we funded the first phase last year, and that money's still sitting there. I think it was $14.6 million or something total, $7.3 at two different at the NCHS and Kelly Wall sites. The planning money was in the previous biennium, and it's supposed to, you know, how many phases this will work. They actually just named the architects selected architects, I think, today. And they've planned to knock out all the...
For all three facilities or just two? How are
for
they
all
doing?
Three. Yeah, it was. These things are all going simultaneous. So what did I say? 14.3, and this is 84, so we're sitting there at about 98. You know, the original estimates were around 115 for all three, so in a three-phase type.
Have they gotten beyond the argument about whether you're going to expand the two schools and the third high school, or are they still arguing about whether Kelly gets bigger or the other school gets smaller?
Well, as you know, we're schools of choice, and it's not a perfect deal. I mean, so there's a little bit of haggling. I'm not right on top of it because I'm not back there right now, so I don't know exactly where it's going. But there's a lot of discussion with that and how. But we do know, of course, that Roosevelt High School, which is in a 1920 elementary school in North Gasper, is going to get a brand-new standalone building. Kelly Walsh is going to be more of a build, demolish, build, demolish thing. And then NCHS is going to be a renovation with swing space on campus of some type, whether it's a whatever, portables, whatever. I don't know if I answered your question. So there's still a little haggling. I guess the concern I'd think of this body is you can't build another Frontier Middle School like we did in Casper 8 years ago or whatever it was. I think Tempest, Speaker Tempest, was in the build it for 600. I don't know. Maximum it's ever had is probably 400, 300. I don't know. So it's being repurposed into a, because our schools of choice, more of the back to basic schools, taking that over. Top two floors, anyway. So it's a little messy. Sound like a boundary district where you just live on this side of the street, you go here. You know, so I don't know how it's going to shake out, you know, and I guess that's one part of this 84, which is now 98 total. Is I think the main deal is that we build enough space to accommodate the current enrollment. And they use five-year projections, which I think is 3,600 high school kids. But
I guess that maybe just hit on my problem, that is we lump the dollars together. Instead of saying, here's KW, here's Natrona, and here's the third high school, and I suppose we could come back and find that the Board of Trustees changed their mind and put them all in, they took the whole 84 and put them into KW, and I guess build it
five stories high. And I guess, do we need, is it okay to lump these three things together? I mean, I think it was your amendment to lump them together, but I really wonder if they ought to be broken out the way they were. And then maybe put a footnote on it that says, with somebody's approval, they can move them around. But we went from three distinct projects to one project. So, you know, I suppose now they can take, what if they spend the whole $84 million on Natrona or KW? They still don't have their enrollment captured.
Madam Chair, I think it's hard for me to kind of get into this hypothetical, but I think an easy way, if you wanted to, I think they're going to cost different amounts. I think it's hard to tell, you know, particularly get into building a brand new one on a fresh site is going to be different than Kelly Walsh's build, demolish, on-site, and Natrona's remodel over the next several years. But so maybe it's just a situation where, you know, the priority is to build enough space to accommodate current enrollment, you know, or something like that.
Is that what the original allocations did?
I don't think so. I think they were a swag, scientific. I think they're a little bit of a swag. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's okay just the way it is, or maybe you just say make sure it's, I don't know.
I don't know.
I could call back there, get direction, whatever the locals think, too. I don't know.
I just wonder if we should break them out into the three projects where they were and then see how they break out.
Is it those three totals, Mr. Co-Chairman?
This is a total of the three separate projects.
It's the three pots, right? Originally.
I think if you just simply said something like, you know, that this money's going to be used to really, you know, to accommodate our current enrollments. NC and Kelly Walsh are within 100 students. NC and Kelly Walsh are within 100, couple hundred students. They're always real close. And then the Roosevelt thing fluctuates a lot. It's an at-risk school, but, you know, it's a couple hundred. Maybe the biggest they've ever been is 300.
But that doesn't address the new high school.
Well, and part of that new high school is Roosevelt, and I think they're going to take kids into these high-tech, high-end completer classes, I think is the plan.
I don't know the answer. I have a little concern that we lump three projects together.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a concern or not. I mean, you got the commission looking at it, and we're going to look at it, but...
Chairman, I'm inclined to go back and unravel them and put them, the three projects together, and then on the floor you can bring some amendment to if you want to shift between projects. But the way we've got it here now, you can in theory put $84 million in the third high school, into KW. We could come back and not have three projects addressed. We've changed the recommendation, put it that way. This is the select... Facilities brought to us three projects. That's the way it should be broken out. And then that gives you the option. Then maybe on the floor bring an amendment to give some flex between the projects. But there's got to be some approval oversight on that.
Well, maybe you just simply just divide that. That's kind of what we did last year. Just divide that 84 by thirds and with some flex language.
But that's not the way it came to us from you guys.
How did it come? It was like...
I don't know.
I think it was...
Well, we can just go back to their current handout.
Why don't we just go back to the current handout and just break them into threes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as long as you allow some flex language. I think the key is some flex language because I think they're still probably no more than 3 months from now when we're gone, exact cost. But it seems like
I can tell you how they. I mean, I've got it here. It had KW 16, Kelly 20, and the Casper New High School at 48. 48, 16, and 20.
Yeah, the Caps is the Roosevelt.
It seems to me that we ought to break it down in this component, and then if you want to bring something later, you bring it on the floor. But the, I mean, if for example, they if the commission had recommended 48 for the Casper New High School, and you put it into, and the, there was enough stroke, if you will, for Natrona to say, let's put it all in our building, then we'd come back and we'd have a deficit.
I don't think the stroke really is the commission has to approve it, so I don't know.
My concern is that if it's in, if we keep it in the three, the commission's got to approve it. We lump some of them, and then it seems to me we're saying you do it, Casper can do what they want.
Well, no, Madam Chair, the commission has to approve any expenditures, no matter how you. But I think, if, go ahead if you want to break it back out to that, but I think then you add a little flex language allowing on commission approval for these three projects.
Let's do that on the floor, but do you care if we break them, the three out?
Well, I think you ought to, if we're going to change it back, I think you add the flex language right here. And then it's a done deal, and then it's not any. I mean, it's the commission's going to decide all when they get.
And why don't you, let's break it out in three. Why don't you propose some flex language to bring back to us?
Okay.
Is that okay?
How about, Mr. Co-Chairman, he just give it to Bill in the morning when they're working up that language for us to approve.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Anything else, committee? Bill, do you have anything else? Dave?
Madam Chair, we'll get this bill officially in the drafting system and get it ready for you. Hopefully we can talk to you about it tomorrow.
And possibly plan on adjournment tomorrow?
Tentatively.
Okay.
And I don't want to speak too quick for Dave. It could be on Wednesday, but we'll shoot for tomorrow.
And we're doing
and
fine
we'll let
on,
you know.
On our dates and everything if we want
tomorrow
to bring
them.
Yeah, it's pretty full. Is everybody okay on that? And that still, we still fit into our timing schedule for presenting on the bill, on the floor and everything.
Yeah,
like that.
Madam Chair, actually, we'll work it over with Debbie and just figure on Wednesday then, if that's
okay.
Acceptable.
Okay, great. And House members will meet here at 8:30 in the morning to take on re-referred bills. Thank you, everyone.